Thanks for tuning in today. You're listening to the official podcast of First Alliance Church in Great Falls, Montana, creating passionate followers of Christ. Today's message is from a special guest speaker.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to be looking at the first chapter of Ephesians, so if you'd like to open your Bibles there, and we'll be looking at verses, chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. And let's pray together as we study the Lord's Word. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to worship together, to worship you, to praise you, Lord, and to thank you for all the goodness that you have brought into our lives, Lord. And we pray as we study your word that it would touch our hearts, Lord, and draw us nearer to you and to a deeper faith, a deeper understanding, and a deeper appreciation of being brothers and sisters in your family, Lord. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take a look at the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 3 through 14. And I'll be reading that out of the NIV. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he has chosen us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance and until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Well, a number of years ago, John Trent and Gary Smalley wrote a book titled The Blessing. And in their book, Trent and Smalley related how each one of us, every person, needs the blessing. The blessing is the heartfelt knowledge that we are loved and accepted and appreciated by other people. Another author, Marianne Bird, in her book, The Whispering Test, tells a story. She said, "I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated being different. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others." In quotes, "a little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When the other kids asked, 'What happened to your lip?' I would tell them I fell and cut it in on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade that all the kids adored, Mrs. Leonard. She was short, round, happy, and a sparkling lady. Every year we had a hearing test, and Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone. Finally, it was my turn. I knew from the past years that we stood against the door, and covering one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something and we would have to repeat it. I waited for the words that God must have put in her mouth. Those seven words changed my life. She said, 'I wish you were my little girl.'" God speaks to all of us. God says, "I wish you were my son. I wish you were my daughter." The good Lord blesses us, and we need the blessing. We need the blessing of our parents, our loved ones, and most important of all, we need the blessing of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus, our Savior, we have that blessing. When you get up in the morning and look in the mirror, what do you see? In your thoughts, you ask, "Who am I?" I believe each person, to some extent, feels like that little girl. At times, we feel unloved, unaccepted, unappreciated. At times, we don't want to think of it, but we are sinners. We are deformed by our sin. We have been hurt, disfigured by sin. At times, we are told by those around us that we are worthless. We need love, but at times, we receive hate. We crave acceptance, and too often we get rejection. At times we feel ugly, unacceptable, and unloved. We may look all our lives for the blessing and never receive it. Not from our friends, our fellow workers, our students, or even our parents and extended families. Even as Christians, we at times buy into the idea that we are worthless, unlovable, unlikable, and unacceptable. Today, God wants us to know that in His Son, Jesus Christ, He totally loves and accepts each one of us. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, suffered the cross for you, for every one of us. That's acceptance. In His words, in His life, in His suffering, Jesus is saying, I love you. In Jesus, God wants us to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that he loves us and accepts us and gives us the blessing. This is exactly what these opening verses in Ephesians is telling us. God wants his believers, Christians, to know that he accepts us and loves us and has already blessed us. Let's read Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. These opening verses in Ephesians declares God's blessing to us. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Now, I can't wrap my mind around that. And blameless in his sight, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. The believer was chosen, predestined to be his child. Do you remember as a child? I think we all probably had this kind of experience, or playing some kind of game, football or some other team sport that required teams to be formed. And perhaps the teacher would choose two team captains to pick their team members. You probably remember the joy of being picked. Or perhaps can you more vividly remember the disappointment of standing there as team member after team member was chosen, but no one chose you? That is a horrible thing, to be left behind. Our school friends, our fellow workers, even our families may reject us. But the Lord says, I have chosen you. Before the creation of the world, I made plans to make you my child. Think about that. For the creation of the world, God knew you, and he chose you. Now, I can't wrap my mind around that, but I believe it. Not only has he chosen the believer, but he has adopted the believer as sons and daughters. All the blessings of being a child of the King are bestowed upon the believer. Dear brother and sister, God has chosen you and made you his own. This is the first blessing. As a believer, you may be the poorest person in the world, but you are rich in blessings because of Jesus Christ. In the eyes of other people, you may be the homeliest person alive, but to the Lord, you are beautiful. By the world's standards, you may be without value, but in God's accounting, you are priceless because Jesus died for you. In God's eyes, you are worth everything. And the second blessing here is that we are redeemed. Verse 7 says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Before Jesus came into our lives, we were sold as indentured slaves to sin. We were in bondage, tempted, even coerced, to do the will of the evil one. In Jesus, we are not only free from the penalty of sin, our sin, but we are free to seek and follow the Lord Jesus. Our freedom has been purchased. We are set free from the prison of sinfulness, corruption, and incompleteness. We can be all that the Lord wants us to be. We are a new creation in Christ. The third blessing is a blessing of hope. In verses 9 and 10, it tells us, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his great pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. That's hope. It is a troubling thing not to know your destiny. I believe there is a terrible fear in the unknown in the heart of every human being. Everyone wants the answer to the question, what next? What next? What will tomorrow bring? Or next week? Or next year? For adults, it eventually comes down to what lies beyond the grave. Some may say otherwise, but as people face the end of their days and the twilight of their lives, what next is certainly on their minds and hearts. The Lord says to the believer, don't worry. There is hope in Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said he has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. Praise God. The fourth blessing is a blessing of security. Verses 13 and 14 says, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So God's not going to lose you someplace. He knows every one of you, and he's not going to forget you. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That's amazing. I have a letter in my Bible here. In and of itself, it's just a piece of paper with some glue and a little bit of ink on it. But if I seal this letter with a U.S. postage stamp and drop it in the mailbox, it becomes something very important to the United States Postal Service. Anyone caught tampering with it or interfering with its safe delivery will be in trouble with the law. The stamp is the seal of the government's protection and promise of safe delivery. As Christians, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is God's guarantee of safe delivery to our heavenly destination. The Holy Spirit is also the down payment on our inheritance. Just as a groom gives a bride an engagement ring as a promise of greater commitment to come, God gives us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance in the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ. The fifth blessing is a blessing of purpose. The Lord chose us for a purpose. We are to bring him honor and worship. We are to be his ambassadors in this fallen and needy world. We are to be his witnesses. We are his holy ones set apart for God's service. We live in a world where at times feel like nobodies. At times we lack purpose. We wander from one fad to another, one trend to another, one era to another. We've had the hippie generation, the yippie generation, the yuppie generation, the Pepsi generation, the age of Aquarius, and whatever else. Do we have a purpose, a calling in this world? The Christian believer does. You trusting in Christ have an eternal calling to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Whether you dig ditches for a living or you are a Fortune 500 executive, in the eyes of the Lord, you are his child, destined for eternity and an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are a living testimony of the love of God and salvation in the name of Jesus. Being a Christian, a witness, an ambassador for Jesus is the highest calling in our lives. Why is it then that we often seem no more fulfilled and content with life than the average person on the street? Often we are just as insecure, dissatisfied, and as discontented with life as the non-believer. Could it be that we don't realize the wonder and the glory of being God's children? If you are a Christian, I don't care how you rise in the outside world, you will never be greater than what you are in Jesus Christ. No matter what your status is in life, you will never be in a better situation than you are as a child of the King. What could be better than to be a child of the King? Your all in all is Jesus. When I was studying at Bethel Seminary near St. Paul, Minnesota, I had the pleasure of knowing a man by the name of Keith Teckouts. I'm sorry, I get kind of emotional thinking about Keith. Every year, the school asked Keith to speak at the Bethel College Chapel, which shared the campus with the seminary. Every year, the college would ask Keith to speak to the college students and the faculty. When Keith spoke, the chapel was filled to the max. The students always turned out to hear Keith. Was Keith a pastor? No. Was Keith the president of the college, or the dean, or perhaps the campus pastor? No. Keith was a janitor. He called himself a janitor for Jesus, and he was. The peace and joy of the Lord flowed out of Keith, the janitor for Jesus. Excuse me, I get all teared up with this. The students recognized this, and they always turned out to hear Keith because he understood his high calling as a janitor for Jesus. My friends, my fellow believers, when you look in the mirror in the morning, don't look down on yourself. Don't belittle God's creation. Don't believe the lie that you are worthless or a nobody in this world. You are somebody. In our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the brother or sister of Jesus. You are a son or a daughter of the King. You have a purpose and you have a high calling. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have so blessed us. Each one of us is here because in some way, Lord, you got us here. And we thank you, Lord, that we can praise you this day and to be celebrating the fact that we are a child of God and that we can reflect upon all the gracious blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We give you thanks, Lord, with all our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by the message today. Follow us on social media to keep up to date with church news and events.